Good morning. Okay, let's settle something. I'm from the South. You're going to figure that out in just a second. Anyway, but we're going to do all kinds of different things this week. Thank you for that beautiful song. Here am I. Oh boy, here am I. If that's a goal that we have of anything this week, I pray that that'll come to your mind. Here am I. Well, it is good morning to you. It is a pleasure to be with you. By the way, am I on? Who's helping me here? Am I working? I have a hard time staying right here. I have to go from here to yonder. Now, that's a southern term. If you don't know what yonder is, we got to go from here to there. But yet, when I'm going from here to there, because I got to connect, I got to look, I got to see. I want to see faces. I want to see what God will be doing this week. And I just want to give a word of thanks to start with to Brother Pastor Dickerson for having us here, the missionaries, having me in this beautiful church. I just thank you so much for allowing us to come and to be here. And also to Brother Dan Forbes. He picked me up at the airport last night. And I must thank him profusely because I am dressed by him this morning. I am dressed by Dan Forbes. Not a thing of my luggage has arrived yet. He gave me a toothbrush, undershirt. Well, we won't go any further. We've got everything. And I just appreciate that man so much. I feel like a fish out of water a little bit. But anyway, we have the Word of God, don't we? We've got the Bible. We've got what God has sent to us to know all about. And I pray that's what God will do for us this week, is that we will connect with the Word of God. It always helps to know a little bit about your speaker. It always helps to know what's been going on in his life. We joined Baptist and Missions in 1983. And in fact, I think I was in the class with Tim Pierce. And that puts us back a long ways. Stu Cottle, another one of your missionaries you have. I was in aviation training. I was trained to be a missionary pilot as well at Piedmont Baptist College. And so I got to know Stu a little bit, and then he met Deb, and they married, and you know the rest is history. You guys know them. So I was looking through your missionary book last night. Some of your missionaries we do know. We've been around with them at different places and different times. But when the Lord allowed us to go from Piedmont, we were able to go to the field of Liberia, West Africa. And I need to tell you guys all this up front because a lot of what you'll hear this week involves all this history. And the Lord gave us a great first term. Came home for furlough, went back in the second term. We weren't but 8 weeks into our second term, and the country decided to go to civil war. We were able to work with the civil war a little while until the war got so close. The U.S. Embassy called and said, "We know the rebels are going to be in your town tomorrow. You've got 2 hours to get out." So our very first home in the field, we had to leave everything behind, and we got out in 2 hours. In fact, we know the story now. The rebels were already there. They were already in the bush. They were already watching us as we were ready to leave, as the plane took off with evacuation flights. The rebels were already there, and as soon as the last missionary drove off the mission, then the rebels took over our entire complex, 200 acres. We had the aviation ministry included. We had 3 Bible schools. We had a radio station. They really wanted that radio station so they could broadcast their propaganda throughout the whole country to let them know what their effort is and so forth there. But they didn't harm us. But just 40 miles from us, a dear couple of ours, working with another mission agency, did lose their life in trying to get out and go across lines and so forth. So it was a very dangerous situation. And that led us into the Ivory Coast, La Côte d'Ivoire. So we were able to go to the Ivory Coast for some 9 years and minister there on and off in different times. And a lot of things we'll be telling you about today or situate itself in the Ivory Coast, doing the same thing, working with Liberians that had come across the border. At that point in time when we got there, we had not had language school or language training in the French, that is. So we had to minister to the English speakers of that day. And then somewhere in that process of working those years in Ivory Coast, we burned out. Now, missionaries don't like to hear that. Pastors don't like to hear that. But guys, I'm going to be honest with you. We burned out. We were working with a refugee situation every day of our life. People would line up on our door. It got to the point where my wife could not go to the door to see who was there because there was always a line of people. As soon as the sun would come up, a line of people there. They're in worse shape than I am. They had run across. Many of them swam the river. getting into the Ivory Coast because they were dodging bullets from the rebels who were shooting them. Everything had to do with tribes. If you were on the losing team, the government in power at the time when the overthrow came was the Kron tribe. And we happened to be working in and among the Kron people. And our people that I was working with had to jump the river and swim, many of them through bullets, to get to the other side, to get into the Ivory Coast. Same place where we wound up. And somewhere in all that story, we just could not function anymore. Maybe I'll tell you about some of that this week. Because you may find yourself, Brother Jeff, I'm working for the Lord. I'm doing things for God. But I'm just tired. I'm exhausted. Can you help me? Maybe we can go through that a little bit this week. Because what weighs in the balance is what Brother Olson told us about in Sunday school this morning, is that Jesus Christ has left the perfect example for us that we have got to get out. We've got to get that word out. And we don't want to get tired in what we're doing. That wound us up in the country of Jamaica for 2 years. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. No problem, man. The Lord just knew exactly where to go. But I went kicking and I went screaming. I was saying, God, I'm an African missionary. Don't send me to Jamaica. And I fought God the whole entire way. What a mistake. Why? Hello? Anybody home? I had to learn lessons all the way along through my life that I hope will help you. But those 2 years in Jamaica were wonderful. Working with the Jamaican people, the descendants of West African people, same people group, but they're different altogether. Getting to know them. They didn't come and line up at our door every day. We could begin to work with them. Our strength began to be renewed. God knew not to put us in America at rest. He put us in Jamaica at rest because we had to be back with the same people group, but of a different mindset. And He let us rest in Jamaica. Now you think, mate, I don't want to put any back. You got missionaries going to Jamaica, by the way? Okay, I don't want to harm their support or anything, because Jamaica needs the Lord. It does need the Lord, but it's a restful place as well. If you can put up with the drivers driving on the wrong side of the road, don't they know they're supposed to be on the other side? Oh, just those little things that drive you nuts. If you can just put up a little stuff like that. It was a very restful time, and the Lord brought us back, because when we finished the time in Jamaica, the Lord put us back into the Ivory Coast for one of the hardest terms of our missionary career. But yet it was one of the most profitable, spiritually speaking. We've never seen anything like that. But we had to get rested before we could get back to do what we needed to do. That put us in the Ivory Coast. Finished that one term. That was the third term. Went back to the fourth term. In between the third and the fourth term, went to Quebec, Canada, learn French language. Turned me inside out. Lord, are you sure I'm supposed to handle this language? The language professor that we had was very patient with us. He worked with us. And finally he came. He was a Christian man. And he said, let me tell you this. French will be the language of heaven. And I said, how do you know that? He said, it takes eternity to learn it. And I went, phew. Okay. So I felt a little better. And then that put us back into the Ivory Coast. And we began working in the Ivory Coast. Got just 13 months under our belt. My wife had flown home to the States to put her oldest daughter in university at Liberty. And she had been gone for 6 weeks. We had left our home in Bouake, drove 4 hours, was going to pick her up at the airport. Yeah, packed an overnight bag. Overnight bag still lasting me. That was 2002. Never got back home. Just with an overnight bag. One of the best kept secrets in all of Africa, can't figure it out. Usually we know everything about Africa. No secrets are held. But we didn't know anything of this was coming. I had this Bible with me. And I'm so glad I took my Bible with me. Same thing on this flight coming in from Charlotte yesterday. I had my Bible with me. I keep it with me. I've learned a lesson. I keep it with me because this book is important. And we've got to get into it. And the Lord's taken us from there, not fighting at this time, put us on a campus work. UNC Charlotte. Charlotte 49ers. And you'll hear more about that as the week goes on. I want to let you know a little bit about who you're listening to. It helps you to understand where I'm coming from. But let's listen to God for a second. Go with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Let's begin reading in verse 33. John chapter 18. Verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Verse 36. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. I've seen a lot of, sir, I want to pause there. So I've seen a lot of people groups fight in our missionary career. It's not a pretty thing. We worked not only with the Kron people there in Liberia, we worked with other tribal groups. There's 28 different tribes in Liberia. There's over 68 different tribal people in Ivory Coast. And when they don't agree with another, they begin to fight. It's the same old African fight, fight, fight. They used to use shield. They used to use sword. They used to use a knife. Now it's gone to AK-47s, rocket-propelled grenades, landmines. It's the same tribal warfare, but they still fight. Weaponry has changed over the years. And Jesus said, My servants would fight. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. And I've seen that. That's not a pretty thing. Let's pick up in the middle of 36. That I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Verse 38, Pilate said unto him, What is truth? I want to stop right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you, Lord, this morning. Teach us what is truth. Lord, we go through the motions of our life and our spiritual life every day. But God, the real truth of why we're born again, blood-bought Christians, seems to escape us day in and day out. God, forgive us. Now teach us. As Pilate was asking this question that has lived through 2,000 years of time, what is truth? God, teach us that this morning. Do as only you can do. And God will be careful to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of pray for seekers. Pray for seekers. And the way I got to that was because of the college campus at UNC Charlotte. When we started this ministry in 2003, coming from the African jungles to the college campus, I quickly found out it's the same, it's the word jungle still applies, it's just different the way it looks. It's still a jungle. And I'd be walking through the paths, walking through the sidewalks, classes are changing, 20,000 students on this particular campus, going by, one after another, and I'm looking around, and I was thinking in my mind, God, who am I here? Who am I for? What is today's job? What do I have to do today? 20,000 students keep passing by. My wife and I, the Lord impressed upon our heart, who are the seekers? And I want to impress upon your heart. Begin today to start praying for seekers. From every day from this point on, as you get up in your Christian life, and I'm talking to Christians right now, and you know what the salvation message is, and you are able to give it out, and you have a desire to give it out, and you want to give it out, I beg of you to give it out. Let it go forth. But yet, start your day with prayer. God, who is seeking today? We begin with that prayer every day. Who is seeking? When Jesus became before Pilate, Pilate didn't even know he was seeking until Jesus began to speak to him. The very God, the center of the universe, was in his presence. And he began to talk about the kingdoms. And Pilate was listening to these things and listening to God speak to him directly. And he simply came to the question. He came to the point in his life and he said, what is truth? What is truth? Truth is, mankind worldwide is united by one thing. You know what that is? Sin. Didn't matter if I was in Africa, didn't matter if I was in Jamaica, didn't matter if I was in Canada, didn't matter if I was on the college campus. Sin is worldwide. Sin is worldwide. Boy, it's a hot topic because when I talk to students about sin, some of them seem to have the attitude, oh, I'm okay. Let's take Frank, for example. Frank, 2 weeks ago on a Monday morning, it was a bright, beautiful, sunshiny day, walking through the campus, and I happened to be with him. And I had just met him just a few minutes before. And I said, Frank, let me ask you a question. Frank, I want to find out something. I had a little bit of a heads up on Frank. His mom and dad had called and kind of needled me in to find this student. And I found Frank. And all of a sudden, he's walking across campus. And I just kind of went around right beside him. Love that. I said, Frank, we got talking a little bit. We're doing some other things. And about 30 minutes, we've been together. He didn't have a class right at that point in time. So I said, Frank, so I'm on a level with you. Your mom and dad called. You know your mom and dad are Christian. What about you? Why do you refuse to turn your life around? Why don't you give your life to Christ? Why don't you give it to Him right now? He'd been so friendly all the way through. The conversation, all of a sudden he was different. I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I've been to Jesuit school. I'm fine. This was a response. Hot topic, because he didn't see himself as a sinner. Didn't see himself in need of a Savior. Didn't see himself in need of what this Bible is all about. Pilate, in much the same place right here, he looked at Jesus and said, what is truth? Then we can take David. Guys, I got to tell you about this week, if you hadn't heard about it, it's called Literature Tables. Literature Tables are something that Campus Bible Fellowship, through Baptist and Missions, the ministry there. We go and we find different places on campus. We set up thing. I got a big banner that goes across the front. Campus Bible Fellowship. Have free literature right on the front. I put a big sign on the front of it. Free literature. I was sitting at the literature table one day. That's a lot of what I do. Something I very much enjoy. Because what it does is help me to find out who are the seekers. We're praying for who are the seekers. Come to us. And when my wife and I, we've been praying this day. Who will seek us out today? And one student came by. It was in the eating area. That's always the best places to be because they love eating places. I mean, food and college kids. Boy, that goes hand in hand. It was in the eating places, they're coming by for the lunch, and there's this one young man. He walked by, he looked at my table, he stopped and gave that second there, and just kind of thought about it a second, then he headed for the stairs. And he stopped at the stairs. He turned around. He came back to the table. He said, I want to ask you a question. I said, sure, go ahead. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. I am. He said, I was raised Mormon. I've been on the missionary experience. But I think the Mormon church has lied to me. Can you help me? And he stood there and looked at me. This started a 2.5 month meeting with him on a regular basis. 2.5 month process And in this young man's life, his name is David. And at the end of 2.5 months, I still got the email. I keep it in my Bible. It's a testimony of what God can do. When you pray for seekers, when you pray for those seekers, it's a testimony to what God can do. If you're in the right place at the right time, you say, God, send them to me. I don't know who they are, but God, send them. He said, Jeff, just wanted to let you know that I read Romans last night and what that was all about. We've been talking for 2.5 months. His hang up was, if God is a fair God, if God is a just God, if God is a right God, then why do those that have never heard go to hell? That was his hang up. He could not get past that hurdle. Why do they go to hell? I've never done this with anybody less except sitting across that table one day in the cafeteria. I looked at him and I said, David, would you go home tonight and would you begin to read Romans? Romans for an unbeliever? It's kind of deep. So he did. Jeff, I just want to let you know that I read Romans last night. Read the whole book. You know what his next words are? It was amazing. It was amazing. Especially Romans 10, 9 through 13. I know that I had read these verses before. You know why he's read these verses before? Because in his Mormon upbringing, they require them to read the Bible. They require them to know the Scriptures. Now you know the Bible. Now let's get the Book of Mormon. Let's get the Pearl of Great Price. Let's get the Book of Doctrines and Covenants. They have to get all the extra to go on top of it. But he's required to read the Bible. And he said, I've read the Bible before. But now that you're reading it in light of what you're telling me, things are changing. And man, I'm seeing it in a different light. That's what God can do. And he said, I've read these verses before. However, their true meaning never occurred to me until now. After reading them, I could not help but fall on my knees and confess that Jesus is Lord. Thanks for encouraging me to read Romans. I've never done that to anybody in this whole world before in my Christian career. He's the only one. Because the Lord said, tell him. Tell him. Tell him to read Romans. Do you have that kind of relationship with God when God can tell you something and say, do it, and you'll listen to him? Do you have that kind of relationship with God? We're still, David came in just this last Thursday night to our main Bible study on campus, 7 o'clock in Cone Center. This whole semester, we've been doing a comparative religion study. And David came in, and I asked him, I said, David, we're on the subject and topic of Mormonism, which was this last Thursday night. I said, would you come in and help us with it? He came in and for an hour told me things about Mormonism I've never read in a book. He let us know from the inside out what it's looking like. And guys, if you got any Mormon friends, talk to me after service. I'd love to give you some insight of what he told me. I said, David, because my final question was to him. I said, David, what changed your heart? What made you look outside Mormonism? I'd love to share that with you. If you got any Mormon friends, come see me. We don't have time to cover that right now, but let's talk. The truth is, mankind worldwide is united by one thing, and that's sin. It's sin. Here's another truth. Truth is, mankind worldwide has a Savior. That one's not, you know, that we ended sitting in Calvary Baptist Church this morning, we're going, boy, that's not too hard. I understand that one. Do we really? Do we really realize the preciousness of what we have for people to give out? We know verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world. We have a Savior. It is God. Then 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. In B part of that verse, it says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Pray for seekers. Pray for seekers. Pray for truth, because they're looking, and as Pilate said, what is truth? People are walking around, just as David, when he decided to come back, and I'm so glad, he turned at the stairs and came back to the table and said, let me ask you a question, because it changed his life. And I want to help you with that this morning. As you pray for those seekers, as you begin to go out in your heart every day, God, who am I going to come in contact with that needs you today? Because our world has a Savior. Christ died for the whole world. Do you remember what John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29? When he first saw his eyes, he knew about Jesus' whole life. And when his eyes fell upon him, I'm sure that was a momentous occasion for him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's the kind of Jesus we have. That's the kind of gospel we have. It will change people. It will change them from the inside out. If we'll only take the message and go. If we'll take it. And we go. It will change them. Here's another truth. Truth is, mankind worldwide needs your witness and it needs mine. Truth is, mankind world, it needs your witness. As we saw in the hymn a while ago, as we're singing the hymn, send your sons, send your daughters, send the funds to help them to go. It needs our witness. Can we be challenged this week? I've been praying towards this end. And I pray you've been challenged to this end. Can we go? I'm into the campus ministry right now. I'm seeing what God can do. And you've got campuses around. Pastor was telling me, just around this area, how many campuses are here and what can be done. And things that can reach out. By the way, can you ladies cook? Raise your hand now, be honest. Does anybody cook anymore, or is everything prepackaged? Can you cook? That's one of the biggest ministries, people in my home church that we're working out of on the campus of the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. They do for me. They prepare dishes because college kids love to eat. We opened up our home. We put food on the table. We brought them in. We had 25, 9 different nationalities at one time out of 25 people. One of those was from Vietnam. He came up to me and he said, "I like your home." I said, his name was Son. I said, "Son, thank you. Thank you for coming to my home. Glad you could be here." He said, "I've been here 5 years. Have I been here 5 years? I've never seen inside of an American's home. You have a fine home. We just cooked some food. We just put it on the table. I walked around campus and said, "Hey, you might want to eat at my house." That's all I did. God help us. It's not hard. We pray for seekers. We know what the truth is. And we've got to open up our home and reach out. Would you let God work in your heart and your mind right now concerning that issue? We can talk more about that this week as well. I want to talk about Black Monday. Time I've got left here this morning. Listen about Black Monday. We were back in the Ivory Coast after we got thrown out of Liberia. We're back working among the people. We had a Liberian spy who was on the winning side of the war up to that point come visit us in the area of where the losers up to that point of the war were living around. And they saw him. They recognized him. They tried to kill him. He ran to my house for safety. When he took my house for safety, they surrounded my house. They took torches. They took stones. They took things. They were going to burn us out. It got so bad, I had to put my own children under the bed. We grabbed the passports. I grabbed money. I had no idea how fast I was going to have to run because I didn't want my kids to get hit with the stones that were coming through the window trying to get this man. I didn't want him to get hit. There's another process in there. I might finish up that part of the story this week. But what it took was the military police to come and get us out of that situation. There's no 911 in the jungle. We're talking hours of time to go by. Finally, one sergeant comes up with a lonely pistol, fires a couple shots in the air. I said, "Oh man, now he's going to kill people in my house." Scatters the crowd back, takes the man out, puts him in the truck, and drives to the border. That's how I got out of the situation. But this is what I want to tell you about Black Monday. It led to Tuesday. When the sun came up the next day, as soon as the sun was peering over the horizon, there was a knock at my door. And that man said, "The town chief wants to see you right now." I walked to the center of town where the town chief was. Everyone was there in the town. We're talking about a small bush town, so it's not a very big thing. But everyone was there. They put us out in the middle of the town and township with everybody listening. He said, I want to ask you one question. Apologize to us for all the problems you caused us last night. Apologize. And I stood there and I'm thinking, I didn't start that rebellion. I was just visiting. You know I'm a missionary. You know I've been here visiting and working with you people. You know who I am. I did not start this problem last night. What do you mean apologize? All these emotions were going through me. I was so asleep. And you know how adrenaline was flowing the night before, especially when you're about to be killed. And all these things started to well up in me. And I'm serious. My mind flashed back. And I think God had it in my upbringing. I think it's old Sebastian or whatever his name is on the cartoons with the Bugs Bunny. How many grew up with Bugs Bunny? You know what I'm talking about? And he was getting ready to do something good and bad. And he had a good angel standing on his shoulder. And he had a bad angel standing on his shoulder. Anybody give me a witness? All right, good. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm sitting there thinking, I've listened to this. And I'm going, ah! And the devil was talking to me on the side. And he says, tell him off. Tell him off. Give it to him. Let them know what they did last night. Let them know you had nothing to do with this. You tell them. You do it. You tell them off and you give it to them. And the Lord was on the other side. And He simply said, guys, I promise you. You know what He said to me? He said, what is truth? I've never forgot this scripture. I hadn't studied it for this, but I had read it. It was in my heart. It was in my mind. And those very words popped up in my heart and in my mind. And it said, what is truth? Truth is I can get mad and tell them off, and boy, they deserve it. Or I can swallow it and say, I'm sorry. Because as soon as I say, what is truth? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, was I guilty? When I died on the cross, was I guilty? Was I guilty? I died. That the world might know. And standing before that town, the Lord took over. I'm so thankful He did. Because it affected every step of our ministry thereafter. And with the grace of God, I looked for all those people and said, I'm so sorry for all the trouble we caused you last night. And after confession, they slap hands, they slap you on the back, they get you on the shoulder. No problem, man. It's all finished. Just go. And everybody got up and dispersed. It was over. It's finished. Africans don't carry guilt. Once you give, never mind. But that's a Liberian term. You know, I'm sorry. Once you give that to the people, it's finished. They go. They don't hold it against you anymore. And our ministry every day after that, I'm left standing in the village. I'm going there. And I'm still shaking. What just happened? What just happened? And everybody's gone. Everybody went to the farms. Everybody went to eat. And I still had a ministry. Sometimes we've got to do unbearable things if we're going to reach this world. Because what is truth? Truth is the world needs your witness. And it needs my witness. It does. Will you give it this week? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. If you're not in the habit of praying that prayer, I encourage you to do that right now. Lord, send me seekers. Send me seekers. Because the truth is, the world needs the gospel. The world needs what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, as I cross paths, as you put there, and I see this person, they might be nice, they might be a little bit aggravated. But Lord, if I cross their path, I prayed, you sent me here, Lord, I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to deal with them. And deal with them. If you're not in the habit of praying that, I covet with you today. Would you begin praying? And I tell you, it has opened our eyes on this campus when we pray, God, send us seekers, what we see happen on the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you that we're able to come before you. And Lord, impress upon our heart and minds this morning. Lord, this is a missions conference. Lord, to stir our hearts. Lord, to get busy again for what you have for us. We'll be willing to do that. God, I pray that we'll just listen to you. Lord, I pray that we'll begin to pray. Lord, I pray that we'll just let down our guard. Lord, there's nobody here but us. Lord, you're meeting in the midst of us. Lord, can we not just get dead honest with you right now? Help us, Lord. Send seekers. Bless this conference. Lord, send people out of this church this week. Challenge hearts. God, do as only you can do. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you don't mind, stand to your feet. And we're going to be looking at 550. Turn your hymnals to 550 as we do an invitation. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Would you do something maybe you hadn't done in a long time? And that is to begin to pray for the very words, God, send me the seekers. And God, when you send me the seekers, I want to reach them. Would you trust God with that prayer? Would you pray to God for that? And would you just join me at the front as we begin this conference? Would you just step out and come right down here and be with me and say, God, I want to pray that. And God, as I go, I'm going to be conscious that I will be looking for those seekers. I pray that's what it will be. As we sing this hymn, would you mind leading us, brother? I sure would appreciate it. Do as the Lord. Let's have a prayer time together. Lord, open up that to me. Step on out where you are. Come on and join the rock in the front. Come on and pray. Do as only God has saved and cleansed and filled me. Thank you for responding. Come on, others. Respond. Do as only God has saved. God, we come back to you. Lord, we pray together. Lord, we pray as an auditorium as a whole. Lord, I pray for those on the altar before you this morning. God, send us those people. Lord, when we start seeking out the seekers, and Lord, there are so many people looking. Lord, in my own life, you sent Frank in my way, and he rejected you wholeheartedly. Lord, in my own life, you sent me David. He accepted you wholeheartedly. God, we pray for those who will be seeking for you. We have questions. Lord, it could be on their hearts and their minds. Questions that would lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to be ready. Lord, help us to be on our guard. Help us to be consciously looking to those people we come in contact. Lord, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one you're giving me? God, I pray we would not move from that even this week. And Lord, even through the beginning of this conference, Lord, you would stir our hearts and minds. And Lord, we would see missions grow in our hearts as God, only you can do it. Lord, it begins to grow from your burden to us inside and to the out. You're a great God. We love you with all of our heart. Again, Lord, we praise you. We said we would praise you. Praise you for the results that we've seen this morning. God, continue to work as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.